All right, we're on message three of the cycle of our spiritual life. And I want to begin by having us review what is the cycle of our spiritual life. All right, so ask the person next to you, what is the cycle of our spiritual life? And remember there's four items, all right? Tell them, see if you can get all four and in order. Okay, hopefully you all got the answer. What is the cycle of our spiritual life? It's formed of four crucial things, okay? What's the first one?
Life.
Second?
Fellowship.
Third?
Light.
And four?
Blood.
The blood. That's right. Okay, so let me write these items again. So we've got life. I'll just say fellowship, light. Now, ask the person next to you again, where is this from? Where do we get this from? Sounds nice, but where did you just make this up? Okay, so open your, where is it from? Chapter? 1 John chapter 1. So open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, all right. So where do we see in 1 John chapter 1, what's the best verse that we can use to show the first item of the cycle of life? Verse 2. And what's the key phrase in verse 2? Yeah. It says, we have seen and testify and report to you. What? Report to you what? The eternal life. Okay. Now, what about fellowship? Verse 3. Okay, what's the key phrase or phrases here? Yeah. Well, the fellowship occurs twice in that verse, right? It says that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, your fellowship with us. Horizontal, and with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, okay, now today's message is on light, all right? And there's a number of verses on light, but let's read together, how about brothers on verse 5, and then sisters on verse 7. Brothers 5, sisters 7. When the sisters read with your spirit, and the brothers say amen, and then vice versa when the brothers read, okay? Amen. Amen. So you can see God is light, right? Verse 5. And in verse 7, what should we do to the light? Walk in the light, right? Okay, then verse 7, and actually, we'll get to this, but okay, then what about the blood? The blood is in verse 7, right, which we just read. And where else? Can you see the blood in 1 John chapter 1? How do you see it in verse 9? I don't see the word blood. Okay, that's right. Right, in verse 9 at the end, it says, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you have the forgiveness and cleansing, which is linked with the blood. Actually, where else do you see fellowship in these verses? 3, 6, 7, right? So, what comes first? Okay, well, yeah, you could say life. It really depends. If you go in the order that it's presented in 1 John 1, you could say, yep, verse 2, life, verse 3, fellowship, verse 5, light, verse 7, blood. But you could also start, you know, in our experience, let's put it in the word, it's true. Yes, life, fellowship, light, and blood. But in our experience, it's hard to say which one comes first because it's a cycle. Does light come before fellowship, or does fellowship come before light? Hard to say. If you start here, then light goes before fellowship. But if you start here or here, then fellowship comes before light. So it works both ways. All right. So just want to make sure, if you go from the college training and you talk to someone about you enjoyed the cycle of life, and they say, I never, the cycle of life, that's not in the Bible. Where'd you get that from? You better be ready, all right? You can show them from the Word that this is from the Bible. All right. But our focus this morning is we want to see how we can experience this. We want to see how we can experience this. So let's go to Roman numeral 1. Let's read this all together. It summarizes the diagram. According to the cycle of our spiritual life, the eternal life issues in its fellowship, and the fellowship of eternal life brings in the shining
of the divine life within our being.
All right, and then I'll read you Roman numeral 2. God is light. Light is the nature of God's expression.
Amen.
Do you want light?
Amen.
Well, light is a person.
Amen.
It's not just a thing. God is light.
Amen.
And you know what? If you want to know God, it's going to be unavoidable. Can't stay in the darkness, because in Him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
So if we want light, we need God. And if you want to know God, you know what? You're not going to be able to avoid the light, because God is light. God is light. All right. And point A says the divine light is the divine life in the Son operating in us. This light shines in the darkness within us. This is good news at the end here. This light shines in the darkness within us, and what happens? The darkness cannot overcome it.
Amen.
That's good. This is a victorious light. When we have light, darkness cannot overcome it.
Amen.
You want this light?
Amen.
Do you want victory?
Amen.
Well, it's with the light.
Amen.
When you have light, the darkness cannot overcome it.
Amen.
All right? Okay, let's keep going. Point B says, when we follow this light, we shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. You can see both in the verses from John. Well, in John 1, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light. All right? You got life? You got light. All right? Life was the light. And in John 8:12, the Lord said, I am the light of life. All right? I am the light of the world. I'm the light of life. So again, you've got life is light, and then you have the light of life. All right? There's a connection between light and life. Obviously, if there's no light, then we would not have life. We wouldn't exist here on this earth if it wasn't for light. So light and life, you can't separate the two. Point one, to walk in the divine light, which is the expression of God, is to dwell, live, move, and have our being in God.
Amen.
All right, to walk. All right, what should we do? Not just occasionally come to the light, visit the light, occasionally open to the light. No, we should walk. We should walk. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. What does it mean to walk? It means to dwell. It just means to dwell. To dwell, live, move, and have our being in God.
Amen.
It's like living in Alaska or the North Pole, where the sun never sets, right? It's just always there. That's the way we should be. Our Christian life should be a Christian life like that, where we're just, whatever we're doing, we're just in the light.
Okay,
point two. Says, to walk habitually in the darkness, which is the expression of Satan, is to live, behave, and have one's being in the nature of Satan's evil works. The nature of Satan's evil works. So, may the Lord save us. We do not want to be in the nature of Satan's evil works. Just as light, God is light, light is a person. Well, darkness is the nature of Satan's evil works. It's the Satan nature of Satan's evil works. Okay, point C. We want to take some time on point C. It says, when the divine light shines, all the divine truths are a reality. But when we are in darkness, we have a sense of emptiness and vanity. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean in our experience? When the divine light shines, all the divine truths are a reality. But when we are in darkness, we have a sense of emptiness and vanity. Well, of course, the Lord lives in us, and He is light. But in our experience, many times we're not open to the light. And so in our experience, we're in darkness. Okay, so let me give you an example. I thought this was a really good example. This is from a life study of First John. This is message 7. All right. This says, when we dwell in God, we are in the fellowship. Are you in the fellowship right now?
Amen.
Amen. Surely in the college training, we're in the fellowship. When we are in this fellowship, we are in the light. Then as we walk in the light, Christ, the Spirit, the church, the body, and the members of the body are all real to us. We may testify and say, praise the Lord. I see Christ. You see Christ? The Spirit, the church, the humanity of Jesus. Right? That's not in here. I'm just adding that in. The church, the body, and the ground of the church. How wonderful. All this is real to me. All right? I think that's our experience in the college training. However, suppose a sister is offended by an elder. Okay, we can suppose a brother. Suppose you're offended by your roommate. Although the elder had no intention of offending her, nonetheless, something he said offended her because she is sensitive. Okay, we're all sensitive. All right? It's easy to get offended. This is just an example, so don't be offended. All right, perhaps the elder said that all the sisters, no matter what their background may be, are fragile. This word offended the sister, and she said to herself, I love the Lord very much. I also love the church and am for the church. Why does this elder say that the sisters are fragile? Again, I think there's many examples of this. Just something, a little something that someone says. We get offended. Because she is offended, the, quote, switch is turned off, and immediately she is in darkness. As a result, instead of enjoying the church life, she begins to be unhappy with the church. It doesn't take that much, actually, just a little offense. And then all of a sudden, instead of, praise the Lord, this is the meaning of my human life, the Lord is real, then what happens, all right? She may say, what is the church anyway? What is the ground of the church? I don't care about the church. If she stays in darkness, she will eventually find that Christ, the Spirit, and the divine life are no longer real to her in her experience. She may say, what is Christ? He is far away in the heavens. What is eternal life? This life doesn't mean much to me. This is an illustration of the fact that whenever we are in darkness, all the divine things become vain and empty to us. All right? If we're in darkness, it seems like, is God even real? But you know what? It doesn't take that much. Just a little offense. We take offense at something someone says. Church life is not a utopia. There's the brother's house is not the perfect place on earth. There's always going to be things that come up. And you know what? It just takes a little something to come in to break the fellowship. And then we get into darkness. And then it seems like nothing's real. It seems like, man, is the Lord real? Is this really what I should be doing with my life? Did I really give up that much to come to the college training when I could be doing, you know, something else? Well, the problem is not with the college training. The problem is not with the church life. The problem is that there was something that interrupted the fellowship. And it was just something really small. Okay, but let's continue. Suppose after a period of time, the sister who has been offended, brothers, if we've been offended, and is in darkness, repents. The Lord is merciful. And for no apparent reason, she turns to the Lord and says, O Lord, forgive me. Immediately, the switch is turned on.
Amen.
And the light begins to shine again.
Amen.
Then the sister will experience the cleansing of the Lord's precious blood.
Amen.
All right? And the divine things will become real once more.
Amen.
All right? So, I think hopefully this is a little helpful illustration of how we can experience, we experience this divine cycle. Sometimes the fellowship gets interrupted, or just darkness. Is anything real? then we repent. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for feeling this way. And you know what? The blood cleanses, and we're back in the cycle. We're back in the cycle. So that's an illustration of point C. When the light shines, all the divine truths are reality. But when we are in darkness, we have a sense of emptiness and vanity. So let's keep going. All right, Roman numeral 3, let's read this together. A divine light is crucial in maintaining our fellowship with God. Point A altogether. Our life relationship with God
is unconditional and unbreakable.
Amen.
However, our fellowship with Him is conditional and must be maintained.
That's right. We touched yesterday the fellowship, and you know what? Our relationship with God is a relationship in life. We've been born. Have you been born of God?
Amen.
Yes, right? Okay, we've been born of God. That's what it says in John 3. And there's nothing, once you're born, you can never be unborn. We can never be unborn. But it is possible that although our, like it says here, our relationship with God is unconditional and unbreakable, however, our fellowship with Him is conditional and must be maintained. It's just like the relationship between a father and a son, right? Yes, you know what? There's nothing that that son can do to make his genes any different than they are. He cannot take the life that his father has given him and somehow change it, somehow manipulate it. I know that there's a lot of research going on related to stem cells and this type of thing. But in general, there's nothing you can do. However, it's very possible for there to be problems between a father and a son, right? Not such a great relationship at certain times. So the relationship is always there. There's a relationship of life, but the fellowship can get broken. You think of the story of the prodigal son, right? There was a son there, the father. He left his father. Well, he was still the son, and he came back, and he was received as a son. But for that period of time when he went away, there was no fellowship. There was no fellowship. So the fellowship must be maintained, must be maintained. Now we want to see, how do we maintain this fellowship? All right, B says, in order to maintain fellowship with God, we need to do what? That's right. We need to abide in God as light. So light is the key. We may enjoy the fellowship, and then suddenly we sense the fellowship's not there. And then we can get stuck if we don't progress to this next station. We need to abide in God as light. All right. Point C says, the result of being in the light. So how do we know if we're in the light? How do we know if we're in the light or we're not in the light? Well, here's how we know. All right, the result of being in the light is the recognition that we are utterly sinful. So if you're in the light, what happens? We realize that we are utterly sinful. The light exposes our failures, mistakes, wrongdoings, impure motives, and evil intentions. All right, illustration. Hey, Robert, can you just hit the lights right there, the four light switches? Yeah. Yeah, just turn it off. Okay, so when we're in darkness, of course, there's still some light coming in. We're not in complete darkness, but when we're in darkness. Within, you know what, we can't really see, you can't clearly see, there's a lot of dirt and little particles on the floor, but when you're in darkness, you can't really see it. But you know what, what's really interesting is, you can see outside pretty clearly, right? When it's dark inside, you can see clearly outside. When it's dark outside and it's light inside, you can see clearly what's on the inside and not on the outside. So this is exactly what happens. If we're in darkness, you know what? We start pointing the finger at other people, right? You say, oh, that brother, why did he do that? Why did he say that? He didn't do his dishes. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. You know, If we're doing that, we are in darkness. We know we're in darkness if we're pointing the finger at other people. But, turn on the lights. But, if we're in the light, you know, of course, it's still light outside. But if this was the evening message and we have the lights on in here, you know what? You can't see what's going on outside, really. But you can see what's going on inside. And so, how do we know if we're in the light? Well, we feel that we are utterly sinful. The light exposes our failures, our mistakes, our wrongdoings, impure motives, and evil intentions. And this is a positive thing. This is a sign not, we might think, this is terrible. I'm a failure. I'm a mistake. I am full of wrongdoings. Actually, that's a positive sign. If you feel that way, that's a positive sign. That means you're in the light. All right? But don't just stop with the light. We need to go to the next item, obviously. Which brings us to point D. All right, point D. It says, light exposes us and penetrates every hiding place. However, whatever the light, this is important. This is important, however. Don't miss this, however. However, whatever the light exposes, what happens? The blood cleanses. That's good news. I think that probably, I know I can say this about myself. Would you say that you're, sometimes we're afraid of the light? You ever feel afraid of the light? Definitely. Sometimes the light is scary. It might seem that the light is scary. It reminds me of cockroaches, right? As soon as you flip on the lights, then they scatter, right? So we don't want to be cockroaches. But you know what? The light, on the one hand, the light exposes and penetrates, but on the other hand, when you get the light, it's a package deal, right? It's not just the light exposing, but then what happens? There's the cleansing. There's the cleansing of the blood. And I was thinking of a couple of verses. One is 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Let me read this verse to you. This verse is for anyone who's afraid of the light. You feel like you might be afraid of the light? All right, this says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession, so that you may tell out the virtues of him, now listen to this, who has called you out of darkness into his what?
Marvelous.
What kind of light?
Marvelous
light. That's right, into his marvelous light. So the word that the Bible uses to describe light is marvelous.
Amen.
All right? Wonderful. All right? Earlier, you know, it said the darkness cannot overcome it. All right? That means when there's light, there's victory. All right? Here it says marvelous light. All right? This is not a harsh light. This is it's a marvelous light. It's a wonderful light. All right? And also, thinking of another verse, Malachi 4:2. Malachi 4:2. How about if you have your Bible, you turn to Malachi 4:2. I hope everyone has their Bible, by the way. I shouldn't need to say that. Everybody turn to Malachi 4:2. All right, when you get it, we can read it together. But unto you who fear my name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you will go forth and leap about like well-fed calves. All right? Unto you who fear my name, will the Son of Righteousness, right? Sun, light, right? Light, arise with what? With what? With healing in his wings. With healing in his wings. You know, what's healing? Healing is just life. It's the infusion of life. So when we have light, what do we have? We have healing. You want healing? Well, you know what? There's one place you can get healing, and that is not in the darkness. We're in the darkness, we don't get healing. But if we want healing, we need to come to the light. All right? So this light is marvelous. This light is victorious. This light is full of healing. That is full of life. See? So there you have light bringing us to life. And, you know, there's couple of examples of this, even physically. There's, I have two sons, 9 and 6, and when they were born, neither one of them had serious problems with this, but there's something called jaundice, which is something called bilirubin. Anyway, you'll learn about this later. Your skin kind of gets a little bit yellow. And you know what the remedy is for jaundice? A simple remedy, if it's not serious, is what? Yeah, sunlight. That's right. So your baby's got a little needs a little healing. So what do? You just take them outside and you make sure that they get some time in the light. And that's how they get healed. So you know what? We're all born jaundice. We are all born in jaundice. And we need the light. You know what? Something serious is going to happen if we don't get light. If you can't get that bilirubin count correct, then eventually, by just taking them out in the sunlight, then they got to go back in the hospital, and they have to go through some procedures that are more serious. Let's not stay away from the light, so that we need to go to the hospital, spiritual hospital. If we continue to walk in the light, you know what? The jaundice will go away. Keep the jaundice away. There's another example of this. There's these, I'm not sure what you call them, but there's these things called melatonin and serotonin, right? I don't know if our nurses are here. Melatonin and serotonin. And these items are also related to light, all right? If we're not in the light, and these items are partially related to how joyful you feel. If you feel joyful, you know what? How joyful we feel, even physically, is linked with whether or not we are in the light. Whether we are in the light. So, do you want joy?
Amen.
Well, where should we be?
In the light.
We should be in the light. That's right. Don't hide from the light. When we're in darkness, we talked about fellowship yesterday, being related to joy. Well, it's the same with light.
Amen.
If we spend time in the light, then you know what? We're going to be happy people. If we're not in the light, we're not going to be happy. Not going to be happy. On the one hand, yes, there's the light exposing. On the other hand, there's the positive side of the light, where there's healing, there is joy, there's victory.
Amen.
All right, so that's where we want to be. We want to stay in the light. Point E says, the shining of the divine light and the cleansing of the Lord's blood help us to maintain the divine fellowship with the triune God and is for the growth in life. Is for the growth in life. Now, let's really spend some time here on Roman numeral 4. And after I finish, hopefully I finish in about 15 minutes, that will leave some time for you all to respond with some testimonies, okay? Let's read Roman numeral 4 together. The way to be enlightened and to live in the divine light includes 5 practical points. All right, you have to remember these 5 points. We've seen that how important light is to maintain our fellowship with the Lord, to maintain our growth in the Lord, our victory, our joy in the Christian life. How can we be enlightened? Well, there's 5 practical points. And I'd like us to look up these verses. So let's do kind of what Brother Craig did last night. All right? How about you two brothers, Raymond and... Is it Joe? Josh. Josh, why don't you look up Psalm 80, verse 3. All right. You three brothers, Zion, David, and Salem, why don't you look up 2 Corinthians 3:16. We're going to skip Luke 10. Oh, actually, you know what? Let's, we'll skip to the second row here. David and Zach, why don't you take Luke 10, 38 through 42. Then the next three brothers over here sitting next to Norman, Isaiah 6, 5 through 7, and let's just go with those 4, all right? So 5 practical points on the way to be enlightened. Do you want to know how to be enlightened? Okay, we're going to get into that right now. So Psalm chapter 80, verse 3, all right? It was these brothers here, right? Why don't you read it loud and read it with your spirit?
God, restore us,
amen,
and cause your face to shine,
amen,
and we will be saved.
Amen. Read it one more time.
O God, restore us.
Amen.
Cause your face to shine.
Amen.
And we will be saved.
Amen. That's good. So what's the first point? As it says in point A, we must desire, accept, and receive the Lord's shining. This is a great prayer. Lord, what was it? Cause your face to shine, and we will be saved. So, Lord, give me this desire. We need a desire. There needs to be a desire. It starts with a little desire if we want to receive the Lord's shining. All right, Lord, cause your face to shine, and we will be saved. Then point B. All right, brothers, why don't you read 2 Corinthians 3:16. Read it again. Read it loudly and read it with your spirit.
But whenever their heart turns to the Lord, amen, the veil is taken away.
Amen. That's good. So what do we need to do, secondly? First, we need to desire. Second, turn our hearts and open ourselves to the Lord. Right? Craig mentioned open. It's part of Omer. We need to turn our hearts and open ourselves to the Lord. Okay. Hey, Brother Robert, can you hit the lights again? Actually, don't hit. Yeah, hit the lights. Okay. So, I've got my, I think many of us have this app, but I got a flashlight app, right, on your phone. Okay, so you can see that, right? Okay, now close your eyes. Okay, everyone, close your eyes. Can you tell whether the light's on? Okay, it's on right now. Okay, I just turned it off. Keep your eyes closed. Okay, now it's on. Now it's off, right? You can't even tell, right? Okay, Brother Rob, you can turn the lights back on. Or you can open your eyes. You know what? The Lord is always shining. The problem is not with the shining, because the shining is always there. The problem is our heart turned to the Lord? And we didn't use a veil for all of you, but we just closed your eyes. But you know what? If we have a veil, it's almost as if there's no light. Even though the light is really there. But what should we do if we have this veil that's preventing the Lord from shining upon us? 2 Corinthians 3:16 says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, amen, the veil is taken away. And so when the veil is taken away, you know what? Then we have the light. The light actually was already there and it was already shining. But in our experience, it wasn't. Why? Our heart wasn't turned. So first, desire. Accept and receive. Second, turn and open. Amen. All right, now, for these verses, in Luke 10, let me read the point first. It says, we should put a stop to our views, to our way of looking at things, our feelings, our opinions, and words, and just open to the Lord as light. And so the reference is Luke 10, 38 through 42. All right, you brothers who have Luke 10, how about you read these verses to us?
Now as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word.
Amen. Okay, so you have two sisters, right? Martha and Mary. Okay, and then we're going to see what Martha's doing, verse 40. Amen. So what was Martha doing? She was really busy, right? Doing lots and lots of stuff. And she wanted her sister to get busy too, because it seemed like her sister wasn't doing anything. All right? And then verse 41, what did the Lord say to Martha?
But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.
Anxious and troubled about many things. Right? Verse 42.
But there is need of one thing. For Mary has chosen the good part.
Amen.
Shall not be taken away from her.
Amen. That's good. So, in order to receive the shining, we need to turn our hearts to the Lord. We also need to turn away. When we turn to the Lord, we are spontaneously turning away from and shutting the door on other things. Here it mentions our feelings, right? Our opinions, our words. Martha was there. She said she was anxious and troubled about many things. All right? Sometimes we get anxious. You ever feel anxious and troubled about many things? For sure. So what do we need to do? We need to stop. If we want the light, we need to turn, open, and we need to stop our view, our way of looking at things, and just open to the Lord as light. All right, point D. This says, we should not dispute with the enlightening within, but immediately accept, submit, and deal with it accordingly. When the light, okay, first you must desire the light, second, turn, three, turn away from all those negative things. Now, the light comes, and what should we do? Immediately accept, submit, and deal with it accordingly. All right, Isaiah 6, 5 through 7.
Then I said, woe is me, for I am finished, for I am a man of unclean lips, and in the midst of a people of unclean lips I dwell. Yet my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts.
Amen.
Then one of the seraphim flew to me with an ember in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.
Amen. All right, your sin is taken away, right? And purged, right? At first he was like, woe is me. But then what happened? The sin and the iniquity were removed. Because why? He just accepted. You know, I think there's many examples of this. Hopefully, you have some examples of this in your experience. All right, a couple from my experience. I believe when I was, I can't remember if it was in high school or college, spending some time with the Lord, and the Lord touched me about a time when I was growing up. I used to live in a complex that had various areas for recreation, but there was a rule about not playing ball in certain areas of that complex. I love playing ball, and my friends did too. And so even though my dad told me not to, and even though it was against the rules, many times we did it anyway. My dad was looking for me, and I was playing ball, and in an area that you weren't supposed to, and eventually he came and he found me doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, and then he's like, oh, sometimes he could be strict, but at this particular time, He let me off the hook pretty easy, and he said, "Stephen, why are you doing this? Did you forget that you can't play ball in this area?" And I was like, "Yeah, I forgot." I didn't forget actually. And then later, this is several years later, the Lord reminded me about this and said, "You know, what about this?" And then of course I was like, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me." And okay, it says immediately accept, submit, and deal with it accordingly. All right, so the Lord's like, okay, you better go apologize to your dad because you lied. And then what happened? Then the excuses start to come. Okay, well he probably doesn't even remember. It might create more problems than just if I try to. He probably doesn't even remember. I mean, I'm gonna have to explain the whole situation and then apologize. It was a long time ago. There's a lot of excuses, all right? And sometimes this just happens. We just struggle with the Lord. Lord, I don't want to say something. Lord's like, yes, you need to say something. And then a period of time, and then eventually, you got to go and apologize to Dad. Lord, Dad, I'm sorry. I don't know if you remember. I can't remember if he remembered or not, but I just had to explain the situation. I said, you know, I just want to apologize because that time when you asked me if I forgot, I actually didn't forget. I knew what I was doing, and I lied to you that I forgot. And that's it. And then you know what? Praise the Lord. There's the blood. Amen. And then you know what? There's the fellowship.
Amen.
And my joy and enjoyment were restored. Another example, this actually happened just a couple of weeks ago, is there's a brother in our locality. I'm from Los Angeles, and he's been listening to there's some radio programs, and because of the radio programs, he started coming to the meetings, started really enjoying the church life with us. It's been awesome. And the first time that he came to join us, I gave him a ride to a meeting place, and I knew that after the meeting, I probably wouldn't be able to give him a ride back to where he needed to go. And so he wanted to leave his stuff in my car, and I was like, no, don't leave your stuff in my car. USC is not a safe area. It's probably going to get broken into. But actually, I really wasn't, that wasn't my real reason for wanting him not to leave his stuff in my vehicle. It was because I knew I was going to have to try and find a ride for him afterwards so that he could go with some other saints. I, of course, at the time, I didn't, and it's true, USC is not a safe area. And usually I don't leave stuff in the car. But that wasn't my real motivation for saying that to him. It was really that I needed to find him another ride home. And I just didn't want to tell him because he was brand new. I didn't want to freak him out. But it's really interesting. Later, he came to me, and he just mentioned this. He's like, "Hey, I just wanted to ask you that when you first met me," he's like, "your real reason for telling me to take stuff out of the car wasn't just because it's not a safe area, but because actually you wanted to find me a ride home with someone else." And I was like, "You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize for not being truthful with you." And so, you know what? I could have said, "You know what? The crime rates at USC are really high. What I said is true. What I said is true. And I, you know what? I never leave my stuff in the car." That's what we call disputing with the light. Disputing with the light. And you know what? Sometimes the light comes not necessarily directly from the Lord, but it comes through their brothers and sisters. And that's what happened in this case. And you know what? I was thankful. I just had to repent. "Lord, forgive me for being in darkness." And thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your shining through the body. Lord, I appreciate this because this helps me to grow in life. So hopefully that's our attitude. We just, when we get exposed, gut reaction might be initially to argue, dispute, but what we should do is immediately accept, submit, and deal with it accordingly. All right, point E, let's read this together. "We should not only obey the Lord shining once, but also learn to continually keep ourselves under the enlightening we have received." All right, we should learn to sometimes keep ourselves under the enlightening we have received. Right? No, we should learn to continually keep ourselves under the enlightening we have received. And I mentioned this in Matthew 5:14. Let me read this verse to you. In John, I believe it's John 8, the Lord says, "I am the light of the world." Right? "I am the light of the world." But then in John 5:14, what does the Lord say? Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world." Right? "You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city situated upon a mountain to be hidden." So, like I mentioned, like as the we had this example with this brother who pointed something out about me. We need the brothers and sisters. We need the brothers and sisters. We need the, you know what? It's true. The fellowship is both vertical and horizontal, right? So we're having the fellowship with the Lord, and then the light comes, sometimes directly from the Lord. Sometimes we're having the fellowship with the brothers or with the sisters, and you know what? The light comes there too. The light comes there. Why? Because you are the light of the world as well. Amen. And I can testify, you know, in college, I lived in the brother's house for 4 years. That was a big salvation because there was a lot of light. And you know what? Sometimes if you're just by yourself in your room, you might do certain things. But you know what? If you're in the brother's house, you'd be like, man, I cannot do these things in the brother's house. Because why? Because there's some shining. There's some light there. And that's a, you know, we might be doing something and then a brother walks by and quickly, something on the computer. We might be on a certain website or something. And then, maybe a serving one walks by or something. And all of a sudden you'd be like, ooh, you just minimize it or you close it really quick. That's light. That's the light right there. We need the light from the brothers and sisters. As much as we can do to be with the other saints, that will keep us in the light. If we want to be a loner, just by ourselves, then you know what? We're not going to get that much shining. But the more we're with the brothers and sisters, you're living in cabins with a bunch of people. You know what? Maybe there's some light going on. There's some exposing going on in the living quarters. But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. We need the light. We need the light in order to grow in life. And many times this light. And you know what? What even helps us to be under the light even more is not just to be with the brothers and sisters, but it's to have someone that we really take care of. If you really want to be in the light, you know what the best way is? You have a younger one. You have a high school or a junior higher, or you have someone who's newer to the church life. If you try and take care of that person, I guarantee you, you are going to be in the light. They're going to ask questions, and you're going to be like, oh, man, I have no idea what the answer is. Well, that's a little bit of shining. We got a little exposed. Or they might not return our text messages for a couple of days. Then we might get mad. All right. That's some light right there. We just got exposed. Lord, forgive me. I'm short on love for this person. That's another way to keep yourself in the light. So this goes along with the line on the gospel as well. If we want to be in the cycle of life, we need to be preaching the gospel. That's one of the best ways to be in the light. Amen. Okay, well, we'll stop here.